عمر کے صحابہ The Voice of اہل سنہ والجماعہ.
نکاح عقد مسنو دکھے دل کا مرہم, نکاح عقد مسنو دکھے دل کا مرہم.
6 minutes after 11 Central African time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Well, it's a Tuesday morning. It's time for our Bliss of Marriage. Every Tuesday is between 11 to 12, and every Wednesday is between 11 to 12. My name is Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia, and of course, our beloved, senior, respected, honorable Fadilatul Ustad Hazrat Mulana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Hafidhahullah. We welcome our beloved wonderful listeners of Sirius FM, and of course we welcome our beloved wonderful listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah Wal Jama'ah, and not forgetting our beloved engineer Brother Bonface this beautiful Tuesday morning. Today is the 18th of Rabi'ul Akhir 1443, which is also the 23rd of November 2021. Ustad, we welcome you to the Bliss of Marriage. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ustad.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi بارك الله فيكم وعرفات جزاكم الله خيرا.
Sister says here in Islam, has Allah ordained us wives, dear Mufti Sahab, to be servants to our husbands? I mean, it's not fair, dear Mufti Sahab. Ustaz.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When people want to use the Quran Sharif for their own ulterior motives and hidden agenda, then always they'll come to the wrong conclusion. Therefore, the Quran Kareem states, يُدْوِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا. Many people go astray through this Quran, and many people will receive guidance in hidayah through the Quran. So it seems like, you know, contradiction. There's no contradiction. It's for Kalamullah. It's a direct speech of Almighty Allah. People have their own theories, their own ideas, their own concepts. So now that they put right on top, now they look for Quran, they look for Hadith, then they make that subservient to their ideas and their theories. Those are the people who are dhal and mudwil. They are astray and they lead others astray. Because they're making the Quran Sharif secondary, the Hadith secondary, Allah forbid. You get those people who put the Quran Sharif right on top, the Sunnah Nabawiyah right on top, and then they turn their ideas, their thinking according to that. Those are the people Allah will give them guidance and they will be on the right path. Now let's address that what you are saying. Quran Kareem commands every husband in the world, Surah 4 verse 19, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, and treat your wives with love, with equity, with justice. So that is what you must do. And remember, that's compulsory. It's not something that is mustahab or just, you know, desirable. It's compulsory. I always give you the example that how you want your son-in-law to treat your daughter, you must treat your wife better than that. There's one great sheikh in Egypt, Sheikh Mutawalli Sha'arawi, rahimahullah. So he's got a famous tafsir and so forth and so on. So someone asked him, Sheikh, that my son is getting married to that lady there from that family. So as a father, what advice must I give him? Must I give my son who's going to marry next week, 2 weeks, time, whatever? So see the beautiful answer Sheikh Mutawalli Sha'arawi gave, rahimahullah. He said that, tell your son that that lady there is leaving her parents, leaving her siblings, leaving everybody for his pleasure and to stay with him for the remainder of her life, inshallah. So you, the husband, you must be like the father to her. You must be like the brother to her. You must be like the mother to her. You must be like the sister to her. Meaning that different occasions you will have to play different roles, because she is making the great sacrifice. So that is what Islam teaches us. So Surah 4, verse 19. Second one, what is the beauty of marriage? Quran Kareem states, Surah 30, Surah Rum, and verse number 21. Chapter 30, verse 21. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ, and from the signs and symbols of Almighty Allah, أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا, that Almighty Allah created for you, for your benefit, مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ, from yourself, the same species. We don't marry animals or something, Allah forbid. Adam marry Eve, Eve marry Adam, like that. So, مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا, your spouses. Why? لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. First thing, you must get sukoon, peace, tranquility, serenity. When you touch your wife, you embrace her, she embraces you, there must be peace, tranquility. The bodies meet, the hearts meet, there must be unity of thought, both of you going in the same direction. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. Allah will bring the love, Allah will bring the compassion and mercy. But who will understand all this? إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Only those people who make one, who ponder and reflect and wonder over the power and majesty of Allah, they will understand this. Chapter number 30, verse 21. Now Islam made husband and wife partners, not master-slave relationship. Surah 2, chapter 2, Surah Baqarah, verse 187. Hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahun. They, the husbands for the wives, they are the garments and the clothing, and the wives for the husband are the garments and the clothing. So how we wear clothing, it is there in our body. So husband, wife, you must be close to one another. You conceal one another's faults and so forth and so on. So then you will have a prosperous marriage. Surah 2, Surah Baqarah, and remember verse 228. Chapter 2, verse 228. See the beauty, the glory of the Quran. وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. The women have similar rights over their husbands like the rights the husband have over them. So remember, it's not one-way traffic, it works both ways. So, but the man, Quran says, وَلِلْرِجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةِ. The husband, the man will be 1 degree higher. Higher meaning, he will be the captain of the ship, captain of the family, the Amir. Not Amir, not the dictator, but the Amir. He must worry about everything. He must worry about the food, the shelter, clothing, education, medication, everything. It's his responsibility, the husband, the father. And second, he is the one in faq. So he's given darajatul imara and darajatul infaq, that he must spend on the wife, children, and so forth. They don't have to spend on him unless it's some, you understand, you know, extraordinary circumstances. But normal circumstances, they don't have to spend on him. Second one is this, that he is given the leadership role. So that is how Islam brings about stability in the society. Now what today's Muslim husbands have done is like when they take 2, 3, 4 wives, they will say, no, I want to practice on the sunnah. But majority don't do justice. Let us be honest about that. So Quran says, Surah 4, verse 3, فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا فَوَاحِدًا. If you fear you can't do justice, then one wife only. So here also, the husband will say, I'm the Amir. Amir means you have much more responsibilities than everybody else. Sayyidul Qawmi Khadimuhum. Nabi alayhi salam said, the leader of the people is the Khadim. He must do much more. The hadith in Mishkat. So therefore, yeah, also, you have the... But today's Muslim husband, they understood themselves to be Amir, as a dictator. Do this, and he sat on his laurels. Think of Hadi. So that is not what Islam teaches us. They're trying to twist what Islam is teaching for their own hidden agenda. So that's wrong, remember that.
Let's go to Maputo, Ustad. Let's understand the question. A listener says, I have questions pertaining custody of the children after divorce. I have read that the mother has more right for the custody so long as she's not remarried. I want to know, Mufti Saab, if the mother remarries but did not live with the husband, she got married, and actually that husband divorced her before living together. Will the custody of the child return to her since she is not married again, Ustad?
Remember that, yeah, the first husband divorced you and their children. So if the children are minors and so forth, 1, 2, 3, 4 years old from that first husband, so you, the wife, you, the mother, you will have custody on that day's unanimity consensus. Then according to the Hanafi school, if it is boys, then the boy will stay with the mother till the age of 7, and then will go to the father. And if it is girls, they will stay with the mother till the age of 10. Some ulama say 11 also, but let's say 10. So till the age of 10, and thereafter they will go to the father. So that is the Hanafi school. The Shafi'i say the first 7 years, boy and girl all will stay with the mother, and thereafter we will bring the father, we will bring the mother, and tell the children they must choose. Do you want to stay with mother or father? They say mother, so they go with mother. After 1 week, 1 month, they say no, we want to go to father, so they go to father. After 1, 2 weeks, 1 month, they say mother, they go back to mother. So it means that we look at what is beneficial for them, what is the best for them. So once you understood that, now let's come to your scenario and your situation. You were married, we don't know how many children, we don't know the ages, so we just assume and presume. So let's say they were 2, 3, 4, 5 years old. So all the children will stay by you. And then when before they could reach the age of 7, or when they reach 7 and so forth, so then you got married. But you didn't go left by your husband and so forth, and it seems that you didn't even go and spend one night with him according to the question. So Nabi alayhi salatu salam said, "Antu anti ahaqqu bihi ma lam tankihi." So it's authentic hadith that you will have the right of custody as long as you don't get married. Because if you get married to a stranger, then you will forfeit the rights, because the stepfather won't have that affection and so much. You know stepfather's story with stepchildren. But if you married, for example, that husband who divorced you, his brother, so then you won't lose the right, because he's the chacha, he's the uncle, he's the paternal uncle, the kaka, and so forth. So be that as it may, thereafter he, the second husband, I don't know what happened, he divorced you. So what happens now? So you still have the right of custody. Study in that situation there. He got nothing to do with the children, this husband here, and so forth. So therefore, you will have, regarding the first husband, he will have, the father, he will have the right of custody according to the Hanafis. If the boy is 7 years old and more, or the girl is 10 years old or more, that is the Hanafi verdict. But Shafi's and them say, you must look at the welfare of the children and where the children want to stay. Having said all this, remember we call this Hadana. Hadana means the chapter on custody. So if the father is such a person, he doesn't read Salat, or he's on alcohol or drugs, or he takes Islam very, very casual, so he's already disqualified. If the mother herself also is like that, she don't worry about Salat, she don't worry about, you understand, bringing the children up properly, she's more interested in gallivanting to the shops and the malls, then she also becomes disqualified. So there are conditions attached always we will look at for the welfare and the betterment of the children.
Ustad, is a question, of course, not regarding the bliss of marriage. It's brother Abu Bakr. He says he works at Marlins. It's near the airport. He wants Mufti Sahab to speak about that the people should start reading Salah at the airport facilities, or else that place, the Namaz facility, will be taken away. Brother Abu Bakr, Ustad,
I send that to our news team today to tell them that they must mention it in their news and programs and so forth. It's true that if you look here at Johannesburg O.R. Tambo Airport, and Jazakallah Khair to you, brother Abu Bakr, if you look at Durban, even Cape Town, if you look at, you must, these are the major places, you will find that there are wonderful facilities there for us Muslims. And one side they got for male, one side female, they got ablution blocks and so forth. Many a time in Muslim countries you won't even find that. So that is very good what the authorities, the government did, what good they do do, we must say yes and praise them for that. And what wrong they do, we must criticize them. So remember that in a case like that, now the Muslims, that they don't go there, and because majority Muslims don't pray, first of all. And those who pray, they don't want to go there because maybe they feel it's far, or it's a big problem to carry your luggage and go there and come back with the luggage and so forth. So wherever they are, they just pray there. And so I myself do that most of the time. And then third one, because I'm going domestic. Now if you take O.R. Tambo Airport, that facility is in the international side. So the point here is this, that majority of the time you will find that the Muslims are not using it as it's supposed to be used. So Quran Kareem teaches us the law, la in shakartum la azidannakum. If you make shukr and you are grateful, I will increase my bounties upon you. Wala in kafartum. Kafartum here means kufran. If you are ungrateful, unthankful, inna azabi la shadid, then my punishment is severe, very severe. What it means? Allah snatches these bounties and favors away from you. Let me give you one example. When I landed in Moscow, you know, Russia, so all the, everything we did, the immigration, all that, and fine, and all that, you don't need visa because we belong to BRICS and what have you, and so forth. So I came out, so I had to change the money to rubles and all, and it was war time, I still remember. So I looked around, because we can't speak Russian, and they, half of them don't understand English also, not half, majority of them. So I'm looking for boards, you know, to see where is the religious. You know what I saw? I saw a Jewish sign for a synagogue. So I was really amazed. You mean that they made arrangement for the Jews, but they made no arrangement for Christians or Muslims and so forth. Then I found out, they said yeah and there and all that. I said, okay, fine. But for us Muslims, there was no real facility as such, you must remember. So I just read in one corner there and so forth. I wanted to see what happens. Nobody told me anything. Likewise, in St. Petersburg, the other big city we went to. So we just read there in full view of everybody. So what I'm saying is, so many countries, Arab countries, Muslim countries, you won't find proper facilities for Salat, and our non-Muslim countries also. Here we have it, so we must use it and make sure we keep it, speak and span and clean and so forth and so on. Not go there just to sleep and just to eat and drink and so forth. Use it for the purpose what is meant. Remember and make shukr and be grateful to Almighty Allah that we have these facilities. See, one more thing about O.R. Tambo Airport. If you go, because I know I fly many times from here and then, so I always go to that one place there that they have the eastern toilet. They have the low pen. You know, you go Makkah, Medina, you go Jeddah, Medina, you go, you won't find one low pen. So especially this new airports they built, is one of the complaints I put there. I say it's an absolute disgrace that you don't have low toilets anywhere. Even in the hotels you won't find. So remember that for us, but you go to Singapore airport, you go this one airport, this airport, Japan you go, subhanallah, they got the best trains in the world. And inside the train, they have eastern airport, eastern toilet, with water and everything. Can you believe that? They make all arrangements for us, but Arab countries, Muslim countries don't do that. So therefore, we 100% echo the sentiment that we should be using it and appreciating these bounties and favors which Allah gave us, and learn this dua. Very powerful dua. Mentioned in Sunan Nasai, and it's authentic. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min zawali ni'matik. Oh beloved Allah, I seek your protection that you snatch your bounties away from me. Imagine. Allahumma. Sometimes we just take things for granted, granted, then the bounties we have, Allah snatches it away. Allah, because we're abusing it. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min zawali ni'matik. So 100% try and use it, oh brothers, oh sisters. Allah give us tawfiq.
Ustad, you remember the Christian sister that messaged us last week, Wednesday? She's saying here that it's me again. Cheryl. Cheryl or Cheryl. She says, why does someone get divorced? Could you please explain to me, Ustad?
Sister Cheryl, what you should remember is that sometimes people get married, but when they start living together, they realize they're not compatible. Everything is different. He will say pink, she will say yellow. He will say right, she will say left. So, I mean, you can't live like that. Therefore, Islam says, Atraban Uruba, that you must look at the age also. So that is not a must but desirable. The word atraba in Arabic, my sister Cheryl, comes from remember that turab. When my wife was playing in the sand, I was playing in the sand, and if you take our ages are the same, just 6 months I'm elder and so forth. So that is very good. When you get married, your outlook, so we call that kuf in Arabic, in the Islamic terminology, the compatibility you should look at. For example, today, people now, the husband, he's not so pious, and the wife is pious. So remember, then that becomes a problem. She wants to read her prayer, and she wants to read Quran, or she wants to pray. The husband says, no, you're wasting time, taking too long with the prayer, and so forth and so on. So the outlook of life must also be the same. Then sometimes you get husbands that they want to have affairs, or they are on drugs, or they are on alcohol, and then they start abusing the wife physically or emotionally and so forth. So Islam, my sister Cheryl, is there for jorna and not torna. Is there to make the marriage, not to break the marriage. Therefore, divorce in Islam will be not the first option, but the last resort. And the Prophet Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam's authentic saying mentioned in Abu Dawood, Abghadul halali ilallahi at-talaq. The most hated and detested thing by Almighty Allah is divorce and talaq. But Islam is a complete comprehensive code of life. Therefore, it will give you directives and guidelines in all situations and circumstances. See, I tell you something. I don't know which religion you follow. But we know in South Africa, majority follow Christianity. So when they get married, they go to the pastor, the priest and so forth and so on. So he will say, now we tied the knot for the husband and the wife and so forth. So all that will be done. But if divorce takes place, then you can't go to the pastor. He will tell you, go to court. So it shows that that is, remember, a weakness and a deficiency in the system, that you don't have real laws regarding divorce and so forth and so on. So Islam is a complete comprehensive for occasions of joy and happiness, for occasions of sadness and problems, that we have all these laws in place.
I see Sister Cheryl says she's not married. She was a nun. Now she is a Christian Ustad. So she is a Christianity Ustad.
Yes, we make dua. Some nuns also have listened to us and they embrace Islam. So that is our message, to educate the Muslims and to propagate to the non-Muslims. You, my sister, you say you are a nun, so you need to ask yourself these 2-3 questions. Do you really believe that Jesus is the Son of God? So how can God be born? How can God die? How can God be buried and so forth? Because if you're going to believe in the Trinity and so forth, so all these are questions you need to think about and stimulate your mind, that are these really acceptable? So these are big, big problems. See, in November, 1 month's time will be December, and they'll tell you 25th December is Christmas. You go ask any honest priest, pastor, the date that they tell the world, 25th December, Christmas Day, the birth of Jesus, is it the truth? They'll tell you there's not no such thing. So all this is invented, fabricated. The business people are very happy because they will say Tatama Chance and Tatama Sale and Tatama Christmas. So they will make all big, big sales and all that. They were interested in the money. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Christianity, they'll make money. So remember, nowhere in Christianity is it mentioned that in authentic, in the Bible or anywhere else, that Jesus, peace be upon him, was born on 25th December. Because I've been to the land of Palestine in different seasons. I was there December and January and so forth. With the help and mercy of Allah, you know how cold it is. 90s. It's midwinter there. And Jesus was born in summer, according to Quran Sharif and according to the Bible as well. So therefore, all these are just inventions, fabrications, because masses are asses. They pull the wool over the people's eyes.
Let's make the question a bit short to start. The attorney, he says here that he's listening to your program every day, dear Mufti Saab. He's 44 years old, not married. And he says, dear Mufti Saab, you people say that age is just a number. At the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, of course, Nabi Sallam did not see age. I want to get married to a girl who's 21 years old, but they are refusing. Isn't you guys say age is just a number? Ustad.
Remember, we also say, my brother, that you are 44, 45 years old Islamically, because you working with a Gregorian calendar, and Gregorian is 365 days per year. Islamically is 355, 356. So by the time you reach 44, so Islamically will be 45, almost 46, be that as it may. So now if you want the young mileage, you know, low mileage, low mileage, you want a 20-year-old girl. You want a 21-year-old girl. So she has to be happy. Her father and parents and family has to be happy. Otherwise, that nikah is not valid. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam, authentic hadith in Abu Dawood and Tirmidhi and so forth. La nikaha illa biwaliyin. How we say la ilaha? There is no deity. There is none worthy of worship. Illallah. Allah, except Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala. So no nikah can be valid illa bi waliyin, except with the consent of the guardian, the father, biological father, or the paternal grandfather, the dada, the opa, pasapa, or the brother of that lady. All this Islam brought about so that nobody can exploit her, and they are many a time naive and simple. They don't understand these things here. So if I'm the, leave everybody else. I don't, you know, you Mr. Art Attorney, Mr. Sharpshooter, right? So you come and propose for my daughter, and she's 20, 21, 22 years old. So I will tell my daughter that fine, this man came, what you say does that. I will say that I don't think is a good idea. Understood? Because you must remember you more than double her age. So you must remember 21 is 42. Baji, you 44, 45. You fit to be a father almost. So you need to take all those matters into consideration. So we have to look at fiqhul waqi. Fiqhul waqi means that we look at the, what is happening today also. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent, was, is, will always be the exclusive rahmatul lil alameen, mercy to the entire universe and creation. So he married Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu. He, the master, alayhi salam, was 25 years old, and she, Sayyidah Khadija, radiallahu anha, was 40 years old. To show, if you marry like that and both parties are happy, it's fine, there's no problem. Mustafa, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, married Sayyidah Aisha, radiallahu anha, the only virgin among the wives of the master, alayhi salam, was she, Sayyidah Aisha, radiallahu anha. She was very young. To show the ummah, that also is permissible, provided the lady is happy and her father and parents are also happy. So that is what Islam is teaching us. So you should not blame Islam. You should blame yourself, my brother, that how come so long you are, don't have, you studied, became a lawyer, became an attorney, became advocate, became senior counsel. Now you want to get married. By the time you're going to get married, you'll be old and cold, my brother. Just now tired and retired. Just now half past six, there'll be big problems. Problems then. So therefore, you need to blame yourself, attorney.
Subhanallah. Listen to this one, Ustad. It says here, what can a wife do if the husband does not spend much time at home? Dear Mufti Saab, Ustad.
Remember that marriage, you must be a diplomat. So the diplomat is this. Daytime, you must go and work. وَجَعَلْنَا النَّهَارَ مَعَاشًا. So Almighty Allah made the day for people to earn their livelihood and so forth. And this business we got nowadays, you go India, Pakistan, Arab countries, I see is creeping in South Africa also, that People wake up 8, half past 8, open the shop 9, half past 9, 10 o'clock. It's your shop, it's your factory, it's your business, but is that encouraged? No. Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted this ummah to be a active ummah, and we must be people who are proactive and so forth. So, Allahumma barik li ummati fi bukuriha. Authentic hadith in Tirmidhi. Ya Allah, give barakah to this ummah in the early, early part of the morning. So we must start our work straight after Fajr. You got tilawat to do, you got some ma'amulat. Finish that, read your ishraq and start the work. Remember that you will obtain and attain much more in the early part of the morning compared to the afternoon or the late morning, 10, 11 o'clock and so forth. I went to Uruguay, Paraguay, Brazil, all these areas. Southern American countries. In Paraguay, if you go there, there's one place, there's three borders there. You will find Brazil is there, Paraguay is there, Uruguay is there, and all these countries. So there, I asked these people, who built this masjid? Mostly from Bangladesh. They said, we built it. I said, with your own money, no chanda and collection. They said, no, nothing. I said, subhanallah. I said, therefore, I salute you, and I'll speak about you all on the radio and so forth. So I asked them, what you do? They say that before Fajr, straight after Fajr, we go out there, and there you have all this interaction with the foreigners. The Brazilians come, the Uruguayans come, this one come, this one come. We speak of Paraguay and the border, and we start early part of the morning. I said, subhanallah, that is your secret. Like how you have a flea market, they have that there. And they made so much money, they became millionaires. The Rawi, the reporter of this hadith, Allahumma barik li ummati fi bukuriya, kusi Tirmidhi. So one of the reporters, Abu Sakhar, says, I used to take my goods, my merchandise, early part of the morning, go sell. And he says, I became za tharwa, a person very wealthy, very rich. This is the barakah, the dua of rahmatul lil alameen, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But this ummah can't wake up for Fajr, first of all. This ummah waiting to start working early part of the morning. Say, no, almost Fajr, Allah forbid, then I'll wake up 8 o'clock, then I will watch the TV, and then I will do a breakfast, and then by the time they say I'll make qaza, Fajr Salat, then I'll open shop 9, 10, 11 o'clock. Later. So that is not something is frowned upon in Islam. Discourage in Islam, remember that.
Ustad, a sister is in Australia says that please do inform Tisab to that young lady, don't make the mistake of marrying an old man twice your age. After a few years, he will be definitely half past six, and then he will start having aches and pains. Marry a young stallion. And I see the brother says he wants to contact you, Ustad, that attorney. He wants to call you after the program, Ustad.
No, call me, brother. I gave you the answer and everything finished now, so I don't take all these kind of calls and that. You'll go to your local ulama. You want to ask the question, I gave you the answer, finish. Here you see the lady from Australia, whatever I said, she's saying Ameen. You understand? She is echoing my sentiments, and she added more masala also. Women, they love spices, you know. So she added spices to my answer. Gee.
My question to Mufti Sahab is with regards to my wife. I have four young children. My wife recently started doing hifz. I encourage her to start. However, she now spends all her time learning, and as a result, my kids are being neglected, Mufti Sahab. She totally ignores them, even when they're crying. I am very unhappy about this, but I'm not sure if I should tell her to stop the hives. Well, I'd be doing a wrong thing, Mufti Sahab, by telling her to stop. Please advise Ustad.
Remember that in this case here, what your wife is doing, if you are saying and sending the question incorrectly, remember what she's doing is wrong. In Islam, we have al-aham fal-aham. Mm-hmm. You work on the laws of priority. Her first priority is her husband, you. Her second priority are her children. Then comes her parents and the Quran. Quran Sharif, Hifz, and all these type of things here. So she should try and learn the major surahs, Surah Yasin, Surah Mulk, Surah, you know, Waqiyah, Surah Alif Lam Mim Sajda, Surah Dukhan. Like that she learns, mashallah. There's no need for her to go and become a hafiza and so forth. She, her main function now is she must take care of your needs as a husband and make tarbiyah and bring up the children. So that is what happens normally to people, that either they will go to the extreme right or extreme left. Therefore, Quran Sharif taught us, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا, that you must be in the middle path. Not go to this extreme, that extreme. So you must tell your wife that this is what you are telling her, and she has to listen to you now, and that she must just learn maybe the 30th Jews and so forth, Surah Amma Supara, Amma Jews, and learn Surah Yasin, Surah Dukhan, Surah Alif Lam Mim Sajda, Surah Mulk, like that, or Surah Waqiyah, and few surahs, and that's enough for her. And make this intention, you and your wife, husband, father and mother of the four flowers, every son, every daughter of ours, we will make a hafiz. So Allah will make you Abul Hufaz and Ummul Hufaz. So that should be your outlook and your solution to your problem.
10 minutes to 12 o'clock, you are tuning in listening to The Bliss of Marriage. I see I have another question here, Ustad. It says here that, dear Honorable Mufti Saab, one person sent a message about the Shias, and they say that the Shias and Sunnis, they must unite. What is Mufti Saab's input on this? And the other one saying here, if you are saying that the Shias are pakka kafir, Mufti Saab, how come when they pass away, they are buried the Islamic way? Don't judge. My friend was a Shia. I attended his janazah. Ustad.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Here there are three issues. Number one, last night was Monday night. Mashallah, Maulana Arafat, myself, we answered all the questions that came in and Maulana asked. And thereafter, I went on top. And then I have tea, you know. And then when I on my phone, then I see there's a message. And it's written there, please listen to this. It's a message. Somebody did a program on the Voice of the Cape. So Voice of the Cape, I know them very well because I did programs for them 12, 13 years free of charge, mashallah. And, you know, so they know me also. So I then heard that, and I don't know who's the speaker. And the person who sent it to me, then I asked him, who's the speaker? Yeah, he said he doesn't know. So I said, fine. So then that he says that, you know, all this year that the Shias and Sunnis, we must unite. It's just some bigoted ulama and so forth who say this. Anything you want. So it's not your emotional talk, this. I am telling you, this Quran Sharif we have. So you must remember, comprises, contains 6,236 verses. The Shias, in their books, their greatest book of theirs is, you must remember, Usulul Kafi. In their Kulaini writes that their Quran has 17,000 verses. And that is now written by them. And where's that Quran? They say by the 12th Imam in the cave. So they're rejecting this Quran here. So that alone makes them kafir. Second one, they curse and swear the Sahaba radiallahu an. So they swear Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, Sayyidina Aisha. Once you start cursing, swearing Sahaba, the Quran says you're out of the fold of Islam. الَّذِينَ يَلْمِزُونَ الْمُتَّوِّئِينَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي الصَّدَقَاتِ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَجِدُونَ إِلَّا جُهُدَهُمْ فَيَسْخَرُونَ مِنْهُمْ. Surah 9, chapter 9, verse 79. You start mocking the Sahaba, Allah will mock you. سَخِرَ اللَّهُ مِنْهُمْ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Allah made the Sahaba the beacons of light. Chapter 9, verse 100. And 57, Surah 57, verse 10. Allah says, for all the Sahaba, this Jannat. So we must believe what Quran is saying or what people and politicians are saying. 100% Shias are kuffar. So I told that person, you know, I'm tired, I'll deal with it tomorrow. Then a message came, a feeling came in my heart. I said, no, what happens if I die tonight? then it means I never stood up for the honor of Siddiqa Akbar, Siddiqa, Sayyidina Aisha, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, Amir Muawiyah, all of them, radiallahu anhu majma'in. So I said, and then I started sending out to thousands of people. And I said that speaker, I'm prepared to challenge you on a live debate, remember, on Voice of the Cape anytime. And we're waiting for their response. I know what the response will be. So remember, now you are basing everything on emotion. That you say you got a Shia friend, you read his janaza. Somebody sways your father, your mother, your wife, your children, all that. Well, I'm asking you, be honest. Will you be his friend? So they curse Sayyidina Aisha, they curse Sayyidina Usman, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Abu Bakr. And remember Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anh, on that Friday, the 10th of Muharram in Karbala, he cursed the Shias. And it's not written by me, it's written in the Shia book. I challenge them every time. Da'a ala Shi'atihi. He cursed the Shias and told them, you told me you coming to help me, but you came to kill my people and so forth. This is by Sheikh Mufid in Irshad. Sayyidina Zainul Abideen Rahimahullah, the son of Sayyidina Hussein, told them that you are the shaitans, you have come here to kill my father. Tomorrow Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will tell you, falastum min ummati. You're not Muslim, you're out of the fold. This is Shia book Tabrasi and the book's name Ihtijaj. So my brother, I don't think that you ever read a Shia book in your life, in Arabic or so forth. So you must know, you read Salatul Janaza for a Pakka Kafir. And remember how the Jutlas Christians are, the Shias for us are the same, and they're out of the fold of Islam. And till today, we are prepared to debate with these type of people who speak of unity and so forth. You start our book from the starting till the ending, you will not find one thing we agree with the Shias. Our kalima is different, our adhan is different, our fasting is different, our salat is different, our zakat is different, husband-wife relationship is different. Can you believe that? The kuffar Shias, they love the backdoor business. They say to sodomize the wife is permissible. That is Shia azam. They say Muta Khomeini, la'anahullah, is pakka kafir himself. He states that Khomeini, that in his book which he wrote, they gave me, the Shias gave me Tawdihul Masail, I still have it. He says you can make mut'a prostitution for 1 hour. You, my brother, you're talking too much. You're prepared to let somebody sleep with your daughter and all that for 1 hour. That is what Shias are saying. So think about it properly. Don't let your emotions get the better of you. Come with academic discussion. So Shias are pakka kafir. And those Maulvis and Sheikhs and all who keep quiet, because they sold their soul. The money is sweeter than honey. The Shias have bought them off, or the Shia sympathizers have bought them off.
Dear Mufti Sahib, could you please explain why are our Muslim lawyers in court, Ustad?
MashaAllah, Allah Ta'ala grant our Muslim lawyers hidayat, tawfiq, to do more good work for the Ummah and uphold the truth without fear and favor. You all know, and it's a shame and disgrace what happened in South Africa. Ramadan 2020, our lawyers, senior counsel, Hafiz Firoz Bouda and them went, and then you find that Uksa and they went to oppose it and so forth. And precedented in human history that Maulvis go, Sheikhs go, Imams go to close the masjid. Remember that Muslim must open the masjid, not close masjid, but they went to court. Remember the first time to add as friends of the court to close the masjid. Second time they went to court with friends of the lesbians. Remember that friends of the court with the lesbians. So that to recognize Muslim marriages. So all this is recorded. They'll die with that, remember this. Nobody can expunge this from them and remove it from them. So our lawyers and the Christians, see, the Christians also got more ghairat, you know. Ghairat means your self-honor and self-respect. They said, we want to make it clear to the government, in future, you got no right to come and close the places of worship. And that's what we are saying. That you, the government, what your lockdown, your fourth wave and fifth wave and sixth wave, the only wave you don't know is the corruption wave where you stole the millions and billions and trillions. That wave they don't see. But they want to come tell us all these pandemic and plendemic and so forth. So be that as it may, we are saying all the places of worship must be left open. So whether it's Hinduism, whether it's Judaism, whether it's Christianity, whether it's Islam, Muslims, so all those who are in court now I think our advocate Firoz Boda is speaking. So that's what they told me, between 11-12 most probably. It just depends, you know, how long the proceedings take, but that will be his time, so most probably. But anyway, Allah Ta'ala reward him, reward our Zahir Umar son, our Hafiz Abu Bakr, he's also an advocate, and mashallah, the entire Muslim Lawyers Association, the MLA, we salute you. And I say this clearly, they got more sense and feeling for Islam than our crooked Maulvis, who sold the deen, remember that, and they went bootlicking to the government and so forth, and bootlicking to the lesbians and so forth. So that is what it is. You must remember this. So therefore, how I challenge the Shias, I challenge all of them. The Jamiat Fordsburg, the MJC Cape Town, your Darul Ihsan Durban, the whole Uksa lot. I said, come, we have a debate live on the radio. You stay in, we don't want you here. You pollute our place. That you stay by your radios, whichever one you want to go, and we discuss, remember, the closure of the masjids, the mosque. We discuss, you're going to court as the friends of the court with the lesbians and recognition of Muslim marriages. We discuss the Shias. We say non-Muslim, you are silent. Why are you silent? These must be the topics of discussion so the Ummah can know that who is hiding, concealing, what is the hidden agenda and so forth. So therefore, you can see the Ummah are waking up now. Every day I get messages. Today also somebody sent me a message. Said, please forgive me. You understand? I said this or said this. Whatever it is. We don't even know. I say everybody forgiven. No. But now the truth is coming out. You must remember that. Because our lawyers didn't leave it. They said, no, there must be a hearing. So yesterday they were in court. Today they're in court. Tomorrow also they're in court. Win or lose doesn't matter. But we made our stance known. We said, Ya Allah, for your deen, whatever is possible, we will do. And if the need comes, we give our life for our masajid. We give our life for sahaba. We give our life for deen of Islam. Not go and become people who are scholars for dollars and curry favor. It's an absolute disgrace and shame that we must be clear on all these issues.
Ustaz, the listener says that last night you mentioned about the Black Friday that is totally haram. So the listener says, I've got a takeaway. So what happens if I put the Russian special, toasted burger, whatever, Black Friday special? Are you saying my income is haram, Ustaz?
I'm saying your action is haram and your income is tainted. Why you want to imitate the kuffar culture? You need to know what Quran Kareem states. Quran Kareem states, Surah 5, Chapter 5, Verse 51. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, la tattakhidul yahuda wan nasara awliya. Do not take the Jews and the Christians to be your friends and protectors. Ba'duhum awliya'u ba'd. They are the friends and protectors of one another. Now see the wa'id, the warning Allah is giving to me and you, people who are Muslim and mu'min. وَمَن يَتَوَلَّهُم مِّنكُمْ. You befriend them. You love their culture, their celebrations, their slogans, and their traditions. And فَإِنَّهُ مِّنْهُمْ. You become part and parcel of them, of the non-Muslim. The Jews and Christians and non-Muslim. One. Surah 5, verse 51. Second one, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, authentic hadith in Abu Dawood, man tashabba biqawmin fawa minhum. Whosoever imitates a people, a nation, becomes part and parcel of them. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu used to say, his fatwa is mentioned in Bayhaqi, ijtanibu a'da Allahi fi idihim, that stay away from the traditions, the customs, the festivals, celebrations of the non-Muslims, the enemies of Almighty Allah. So all this is Quran, Hadith and Sahaba's verdict, and the four schools are agreed on this. What is the history, my brother? You're selling your in the restaurant, all those things there. What is the history of Black Friday? Black Friday was the oppression, the torture, the persecution by the whites there in America, Europe and so forth, against the African, against the blacks. So by using that term, think about it, brother, Black Friday. So what are we saying? That I'm a Muslim and I'm saying Black Friday. But Quran Sharif taught us Surah Jumu'ah, chapter 62, and there are 11 verses there. And Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Jumu'ah is Sayyidul Ayyam. For us, every Friday, my brother, to use the term you will understand, is a Nurani Friday, is a Radiant Friday, is a Friday filled with effulgence. For us to call a Friday Jumu'ah Black Friday is an insult to every Muslim and to Islam itself. Therefore, we consider it offensive. So people who use the term Black Friday sale and so forth, your action is definitely haram. And why you don't just put sale, end of the year sale, this sale? We must not have a herd mentality. What the non-Muslims do, just like sheep, we follow them. No, we must be critical thinkers according to Quran Sharif, according to Sunnah Mubarakah, according to Fatawa and the verdict and sayings of Sahaba, the beloved students, companions of the Master alayhi salam, what the Awliyaullah taught us and what the four schools taught us. That is the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So that is what the need is. Not just a herd mentality, sheep mentality. They told us, the media makes a hype, that Black Friday, when that is finished, then they'll make big hype. Christmas, when that is finished, New Year, when that is finished, then February, Valentine, they make us fools and idiots. You must remember that. So Islam condemns all these type of things and say it has no place in Islam. Okay, just now is the news, so make dua for the court case also.
Ameen.
That Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala gives our brothers tawfiq to say the right words, and inshallah they win also. It will be good for all religions, remember that. Okay, inshallah, that we got between 12 and 1, the majlis of Mufti Bouda Sahab, after the news with Yusuf Ali, then after the Adhan, 1 o'clock, 105 to 130, Surah Maryam, chapter 19, verses 65 to 70, 130 to 2, Surah Ibrahim, chapter 14, verses 26 to 32, 2 to 3, Madrasa on A, Mona Zahid Khan, and then 3 to 3:30, the repeat of the morning Q&A we had with Mona Arafat, 3:30 to 4, Surah Wad Duha, and that is remembered by Mufti Ahmad Khan Puri, the tafsir, remember of it, and the lessons, 4 to 5, Surah Munafiqun, that is chapter 63, 11 verses, by Mona Ridwan Kaji, the synopsis and summary, and then 5 to 7, Mona Khalid Yaqub, 7 to 7:30, the repeat of the tafsir of Surah Maryam, verses 65 to 70, 7:30 to 8, Mona Yunus Patel, Rahimahullah's advices, 8 to 10, Brother Shafat Ahmad Khan, month after dinner with his guests, and then 10 to 11, the series continues of the year after by Sheikh Anwar al-Awlaki. So wonderful lineup. Make dua for us and the Ummah. Barakallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And tomorrow morning, 4 to 6, a safina to Ilal Jannah. From myself and our beloved Ustad, up next is the 12 o'clock news with Haji Yusuf Ali.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.